From Hollywood, California, we bring you a new prize-winning Dr. Christian play called Light a Fallen Star, with Gene Hersholt in the stellar role as Dr. Christian. Presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Yes, men, whether you're in the Army or not, you've got to get up in the morning, and you've got to get going fast. You can spare only a few moments to wash up and comb your hair. But remember this, the way your hair is going to look all day depends on how you groom it in those few seconds. If you douse your hair with water or anything else, here's what'll happen. Your hair will start off with a plastered-down look. Later, when your hair dries out, it will become wild and unruly again. But if you'll use Vaseline Hair Tonic, you'll get entirely different results. With Vaseline Hair Tonic, all you do is shake a little on your comb and run it through your hair. Or sometimes apply a little directly to the scalp. Doesn't take much, just a couple of drops will do the trick. But what a change! Your hair has a live, natural look you can be proud of. And what's just as important, your hair stays put. Whether your working hours are from 9 to 5 or from reveille to taps, you want your hair looking neat all day. And Vaseline Hair Tonic does just that. Keeps your hair in place. Naturally good-looking from morning to night. That's because Vaseline Hair Tonic can't dry out your hair. The big thing is, it supplements the natural scalp oils, gives double care, both scalp and hair. So for hair that looks a whole lot better, a whole lot longer, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. Get a bottle tonight, only 40 or 70 cents. Till you've tried it, you'll never know how really good-looking your hair can be. Our prize play for tonight, Light a Fallen Star, was written by William Kendall Clark of Detroit, Michigan. The author is 31 years old and counts as his best assets a daughter aged 5 and a son aged 2. Light a Fallen Star is Mr. Clark's second radio play to be produced on a national program. We're happy to have such a fine play for you this evening because today is our birthday. Yes, we start our 6th consecutive year of broadcasting Dr. Christian stories this evening. The action of the play begins on an airfield that shall be nameless because it's a field where planes are being tested for the United States Navy. The characters in the play, in addition to Dr. Christian, played by our star Gene Hersholt, and Judy Price, played by Loreen Tuttle, are Grant Harper, ace test pilot for the United States Navy, played by George Neese, Helen Harper, his wife, played by Jean Bates, and 6-year-old Dodie Harper, their daughter, played by Rhoda Williams. As the scene opens, Dr. Christian and the Harpers are at the flying field. Grant Harper speaks first.
Well, there she is, Dr. Christian. Isn't she a beauty?
Beautiful, yes, but big, Grant. I'm forever amazed that anything so big should be able to get itself off the ground.
Look at that tail assembly. Like the wings of a bird. Notice the angle of the stabilizer, Doctor, and the way the rudder fins are towed in. Now, that not only provides greater rudder fin efficiency, but also raises the horizontal surfaces above
the... You'd better stop him, Doctor. He'll go on for hours, and you'll miss your train.
Oh, it's worth missing a train to hear young enthusiasm like that. And to think I used to give him advice on building model airplanes back in River Sand when he was no bigger than Dodie here. Well, not much. Let's see, how old are you, Dodie?
7 next August, Dr. Christian.
She was 6 2 months ago, Doctor.
Ah, 6 then. Going on 7, eh, Dodie? And does your daddy take you up in planes like that one with him?
Oh, no, sir. Or mommy neither. That's a Navy airplane. And daddy tests them. No, what's that word, daddy?
Civilian passengers, darling.
Uh-huh. Well, none of them can go up in a Navy airplane till after my daddy says it's all right for him to.
If you let her, she'd have you believing there was no such thing as a safe plane unless her father tested it first.
And why not, I'd like to know? We speak the same language, Dodie and I. Don't we, chicken?
Uh-huh. We understand each other.
Oh, darling, do you realize it's after 3? Dr. Christian's train leaves at 4.
Oh, good heavens, I had no idea it was so late. Guess we'll have to get started. All right, Dodie, in the back with you. Dr. Christian will be more comfortable up here in front.
Please, Daddy.
Please, Daddy, what?
I want to sit up here with you.
Well, suppose you ask Dr. Christian if he'd mind.
All right. Please, Dr. Christian, you wouldn't mind, would you?
Mind, Dodie?
If I sat up here in front to help my daddy drive.
Why, no, Dodie. As a matter of fact, I think it would be a very good idea.
See?
Well, now, I think that's very nice of the doctor. What do you say, Chicken?
I think that's very nice of you, Dr. Christian.
And?
And thank you, sir. Oh, Daddy, don't squeeze me so tight. I almost can't breathe when you do.
Oh, you know, Doctor, there's two things that'll make a man feel pretty close to, well, to God. One's to have a kid of your own like this, and the other's to get off by yourself up there, with the clouds below you and sunshine all around you and your motors humming sweet music in your ears. I'm a very lucky guy, Dr. Christian.
Yes, you're a lucky guy, Grant.
Well, hang on, everybody. Here we go, Doctor, and no more stopovers.
Why, Judy, you're still here?
Dr. Christian, you promised me you wouldn't come back to the office tonight.
But I thought you were going to the movies tonight.
I knew when you promised that you'd find some excuse to get around it. How long ago did you come back to River's End from that medical convention in the city?
How long? Why, a week ago, but what the...
And every single night since you've been working like mad. And why? Why must you come back here tonight?
Why? Well, tonight I came back to finish that experiment I started this morning.
That experiment? It can wait.
Perhaps, but my curiosity can't.
Well, I give up. If I can't make you rest, at least I can make you take proper nourishment. I don't suppose you stopped for supper.
Well, no, I
now
thought
I'm
that...
here. I brought you some coffee and a roast beef sandwich.
That coffee smells good. You spoiled me, Judy.
Somebody should spoil you.
Then make the job complete and get me the evening paper.
Why don't you finish your supper first?
Because I like to eat while I eat.
I really wish you'd wait.
But why?
Oh, dear. Here I go spoiling your supper and giving you something else to worry about. The paper says Grant Harper was in an accident, Dr. Christian.
An accident? You mean his plane crashed?
Yes. He doesn't appear to be seriously injured. The plane caught fire or something and cracked up near the beach.
Well, he was taken to a hospital, of course. What hospital, Judy?
I don't remember. It says in the paper. Oh, here it is.
Hurry. Operator. Operator, give me long distance. I want to talk to the... quick, Judy. What's the name of the place? Here, let me have the paper.
Here.
The Metropolitan Hospital.
Oh, Dr. Christian, I'm so glad you've come.
Hello, Helen. My nurse, Miss Price, told me you wanted me to come out. And I thought you and Grant weren't returning until next week.
Well, we had to get Grant away from the city. Oh, come in, Doctor. We'll go in the front room. I'd like to talk to you alone before you see Grant.
He's upstairs?
Oh, no. He's not confined to bed. He's sitting in the backyard. You can see him through that screen door at the end of the hall.
No, under that cherry tree. Well, he's not in a wheelchair.
Oh, he can get about as well as you or I. Will you come in here, Doctor? Sit in that easy chair. I'll sit here next to the doorway so I can hear him if he calls. Dr. Christian, I hope you can help us.
Why, I'll do the best I can, Helen.
Dr. Christian, something terrible has happened to Grant. Something horrible that you can't treat as you could burns or a broken body.
Something else, Helen?
But the doctor said it was severe shock. They said all he needed was a long rest. That's why we came back here. They said if he could be somewhere in surroundings that only had happy associations in his memory, it would help him. But every day, every hour almost, he's grown worse.
Worse?
Wait until you see him. If he'll let you see him.
If he'll let me see him.
He hates people around him. He hates me. He even hates Dodie. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, he does. And Dodie, of course, doesn't understand. And, well, he acts as if he were terribly frightened. All the time of everything. A door slamming, the sound of the wind, darkness. Even the striking of a match. He asks for a cigarette and then cringes from lighting it. If I light it for him, he's afraid of the smoke.
I see. Smoke and fire.
Yes. Yes, that's what the doctors at the hospital said. He associates them with the accident and is afraid of them. Well, Dr. Christian, what am I going to do?
Well, for one thing, be patient. And whatever you do, don't pity him. Even in your thoughts. He'll sense it and hate your pity and hate you for pitying him.
But what about Dodie?
Well, you must make her understand somehow that she must keep out of her father's way.
I could send her away.
Oh, no, don't do that. Grant would think that you had done it on his account. Just keep out of his way as much as possible. Now, is there anything else you wish to tell me before we go out to sea?
No, I don't think so. Dr. Christian, you will be able to help us, won't you?
I'll do my best.
You see how he sits there in the sun, Doctor? Though we were sleeping with his eyes open. Sits like that for hours at a time. Darling, here's Dr. Christian.
Hello, Grant.
Grant, dear. Dr. Christian's come to see you.
What? Who? Helen, must you creep up on me that way? I didn't hear you coming.
Well, I'm sorry, dear, but Dr. Christian is...
Dr. Christian. Dr. Albert. Dr. Hemming. Doctors, doctors, doctors. I'm sick of them.
Oh, but darling, this is Dr.
I know who he is. Why shouldn't I know who he is? What does he want?
Just to talk to you, Grant.
Talk to me? About what? I don't want to talk to you. Why don't you let me alone? Helen.
Yes, dear?
You've been smoking. I can smell it.
Oh, darling, I haven't.
Then he has. I can smell it, I tell you. Something's burning.
Oh, they're burning leaves next door, Grant, that's all.
Well, make them stop. Can't you make them stop? There it is now. The smoke from it. The smoke from the fire up there in those trees. What's that? Helen, what's that noise?
Just Dodie, darling. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mommy, look what I got. Look what I got. Tommy gave it to me. See, Mommy?
Shh, Dodie. See who's here, dear.
Oh, Dr. Christian. Hello.
Hello, Dodie.
Have you come to make my daddy better?
What did Tommy give you, dear?
A toy airplane, just like Daddy used to fly. See, Mommy? It has a real window for the pilot and a real little door that opens.
Give that to me.
Please, Daddy.
Give it to me, I said.
Oh, please, Mommy. Don't let him smash this one. Don't.
Give it to Daddy, dear.
A plane. A beautiful little plane. Now what's the matter with that kid? Make her stop that.
Oh, Dodie, you mustn't cry. Hush now. You know Daddy dislikes to have you...
Shut her up, can't you? Get her out of here. All of you. Go on, get out. Leave me alone. Let me alone.
Come along, Helen. And Dodie. Oh, see here. Use my handkerchief to dry those tears. There. That's better. Blow, too.
Why did Daddy break my airplane?
Oh, darling.
Why? Because it wasn't good enough for his little girl. Dodie.
Yes, sir?
You want me to help your daddy get well again, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Then you've got to help me. Have you ever had a tummy ache?
Yesterday I had one. Hard. I ate too much pudding.
It wasn't much fun, was it? You didn't feel like going outdoors and playing with Tommy, did you?
No, sir. I just wanted to lie down.
Well, it's the same way with your daddy. He doesn't feel like playing either because he doesn't feel good. So, if you're going to help me, I want you to let him alone. Will you do that?
Yes, I'll help you. I won't bother Daddy.
Well, now, that's a fine big girl. Thank you, Dodie.
Run along over to Tommy's now, darling. I'll call you when supper's ready.
All right. Goodbye, Dr. Christian.
Goodbye, Dodie.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, of course, my dear. Well, you weren't exaggerating about Grant. You didn't want to talk to me.
No. Yet somehow I feel better just knowing you've seen him. I have such confidence in you, Dr. Christian.
Oh, confidence. It's a doctor's greatest responsibility and sometimes his greatest asset. Well, goodbye, Helen. Remember, no discouragement, no pity and patience. I'll stop by tomorrow and have another try. Somehow, somewhere, you and Dodie and I, well, we'll get Grant back to himself. Well, Judy?
That's all, Doctor. The reception room is empty for the first time since early afternoon.
Ah, I'm going to take a holiday tonight, Judy.
No experiments, no overtime, no late calls.
No? Well, I do want to stop in at Grand Harbor's on the way home. Are you ready to leave? I'll drop you on the way.
I'll be ready as soon as I turn off the sterilizer.
There. My car's right out in front.
Dr. Christian, is Grand Harbor getting any better?
No.
He's been back in River's End almost 4 months now.
Yes. Well, here we are. Get in, Judy.
You were so hopeful for his cure when he first came back.
Well, I don't seem to be able to get help him. If his body was sick, well, then I could do something. There's nothing wrong with his body. It's as strong as it ever was. It's his mind that's ailing, yes.
You've called in specialists. They've been able to do no more than you have.
I know. It is baffling. Oh, Judy, we think we know so much, we men of medicine. And we know nothing. Nothing. It makes one feel so futile, so helpless. I'm beginning to think that if any cure is in store for Grand Harbor, it must come from somewhere else than science.
Oh, say, will you let me out at this next corner, Dr. Christian? I'm going to stop in and see old Mrs. Wainwright. Her sciatica's been bothering her again, but she won't admit it and call you.
Now, who's working overtime?
Well, doctor.
What's the matter, Judy?
Well, look there, over the tops of those houses. That glow in the sky.
And smoke. Well, that's a fire, Judy.
And a big one. Look, you can see the flames through the smoke now. It must be just the next street over. Elm or West Street.
Well, if it's Elm and right through there, it must be Ben Howard's place or Mrs. Thompson's.
Yes.
Or it could be the Harper's.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Judy. Mrs. Wainwright and her sciatica can wait.
Mrs. Wainwright and her sciatica are probably over there right now in the front row of spectators. Oh, it is the Harper's house, Dr. Christian. Look, the flames have almost burned through the roof.
The first floor is a fire, too. Look, the windows. Oh, I don't see Grant or Helen.
Oh, look, there's Mr. Harper standing near the house. He looks as though he's hypnotized.
Grant, come away from there.
Let me alone.
You've got to come away from there.
Get away from me.
Oh, did he hurt you, Doctor?
No, but we can't manage him. Where's Helen?
Dr. Christian, there she is. Over there.
Oh, she's out of her head. She's trying to break away from that fireman.
She's pointing towards the house. Oh, she's fainted.
Judy, look in that window.
Where? It's Jody. The little girl.
Yes.
Oh, why don't they get her? Why don't they do something?
No one has seen her yet except her mother.
I'm going after her.
Oh, wait, Judy.
Wait. Dr. Christian, are you crazy? If we don't get that child out of there,
she's safe now for the moment. The fire's not touched that side yet.
Dr. Christian, what's the matter with you? What are you saying?
Judy, you wait here. Don't say anything about that child in
but
there.
She's got
to... Do as I say. You're going to gamble for the lives of two people instead of one. Grant! Grant, listen to me. Dodie's in there. Do you understand? Dodie is in that house.
Let go my arm. Let me alone.
Your little girl is in that inferno, Grant Harbor. Do you hear? Your little girl is trapped in that fire.
Dodie? In there?
Yes, in the pantry. You can't get her.
Dodie? In there? Well, they've got to get her. They've got to get her out of that fire. The fire? Oh, fire is terrible, Dr. Christian. I don't like fire. It's
Grant,
it can
stop
burn
that.
It can hurt you.
Your daughter is trapped in that house. You're the only one who can save her.
Me? You want me to go in there?
It's Dodie, Grant. Do you understand? It's your Dodie.
It's my Dodie? Dodie. Hang on, chicken. Don't be frightened, darling. Daddy's coming. Don't be frightened.
Stay before that door into the fire.
Yes, and true it. Judy, you say your prayers every night.
You are.
Say them now ahead of schedule. We need God's help in this. Yes, and it wouldn't hurt to keep your fingers crossed.
Oh, the roof. It's going.
Not yet. Not quite yet. It can't fall yet. It can't.
Dr. Christian, look. Coming through the flame. Oh, it's Mr. Harper.
And Dodie. He's got the child in his arms. Good boy, Grant.
And look. That Mr. Harper's crying. I think I'm going to cry.
Later, Judy, later. I'll see if they need first aid. And you run over and tell Mrs. Harper that her family is safe and secure again.
Are they all right, Dr. Christian?
Everything's all right, my boy. Helen suffered the shock, of course, but she's almost herself again and asking for you. You may go in if you wish.
And Dodie?
Oh, that one. Her little friend Tommy built her a new model plane, and she's upset because it got lost in the fire. Well, aside from that, she's fine.
Is that all? I'll buy her another tomorrow when I go to the city. And Tommy, too.
You're going to the city tomorrow, Grant?
Helen's well enough to spare me. Will she be, Doctor?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
I'm pretty anxious to get back, you know. Going to apply for reinstatement from my old job of taking them up and spinning them over.
You want to go back flying?
If they'll have me. Doctor, remember what I said once about getting up there with the clouds and the sunshine and the music of the motors? It's my life, Dr. Christian. I don't have any life without it.
Yes. Yes, I can see that.
You're thinking about that other. Now, it's all over, Dr. Christian. Something happened to me this evening. You know, it's funny when you stop to think of it. I went into the fire to save Dodie and came out of it with her saving me. Maybe that sounds jumbled up.
I know what you mean. It's not a way of saying that the experiment worked.
Experiment, Doctor?
Oh, gamble. Oh, never mind. That's what I'm thinking out loud. Goodbye, my boy, and good luck.
You're not coming in with me?
No, Judy's waiting for me.
Oh.
Give me your moral support, Grant. I'm afraid I'll need it.
Moral support, Dr. Christian?
You see, I'm in for scolding. I told her I'd not do any experimenting tonight. Now I've gone and broken my promise again.
And the curtain comes down on another prize-winning Dr. Christian play. Our star, Gene Herschel, will be here in a moment to greet you. How many people have dry scalp? Dozens, or hundreds, or thousands, or millions? Well, millions is the answer, for dry scalp is very common among both men and women. If you notice even one of these signs of dry scalp, loose dandruff, tight, itchy scalp, brittle, lifeless, unmanageable hair, get Vaseline Hair Tonic now. Vaseline Hair Tonic is the right thing to use because it actually supplements the natural scalp oils, those important oils needed for good-looking, healthy-looking hair. Different from most preparations, it contains absolutely no drying ingredient. Now, here's what to do. Before washing your hair, massage the scalp briskly with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. This stimulates the circulation, loosens dandruff scales, and relieves that itchy feeling. Your hair is soft and easy to comb. Between shampoos, use Vaseline Hair Tonic for good grooming. To check dry scalp and keep your hair naturally good-looking, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly. Get a bottle tonight. And now, here is Gene Herschel. Well, congratulations, Mr. Herschel, on your anniversary.
Thank you, Art. I want to extend my personal welcome and that of my sponsor, the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, to the new stations which joined our network tonight. And may I thank the radio audience, too, for the purchase of the products that made this program possible.
How many plays have you broadcast in the 5 years this program has been on the air?
205. And the best are yet to come. Next week's story, for example. It's a most interesting play called The Storm. It's a prize play, of course, and it's the work of Robert Bruce Fuller of Waterloo, Michigan, who is awaiting call as an aviation cadet. You'll get a thrill out of the story, so be sure to join us next week, same time, same station. Until then, I'll say good night.
How long since you've checked your first aid kit? Look again now to make sure it contains a tube or jar of Vaseline jelly. Your first aid kit is hardly complete without Vaseline jelly for everyday burns and scalds and other minor emergencies. Get soothing, healing Vaseline jelly. It costs only 10 cents. Art Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.